The failure of drug war is glaringly obvious to judges, cops, wardens, prosecutors, and millions more now calling for decriminalization, legalization, the end of prohibition. Let us investigate the Century of Lies.
Hello and welcome to Century of Lies. I'm your host, Doug McVeigh. The European Union's Drugs Monitoring Agency, the European Monitoring Center for Drugs and Drug Addiction, released its 2024 European Drug Report on Tuesday, June 11th. I had the honor of attending the news conference. With an overview of this year's results, here's EMCDDA Director Alexis Gustiel.
The first outline of the situation is described with three words: everywhere, everything, everyone. Stressing that drugs today are everywhere. We never had so many drugs available or produced on the territory of the EU. Everything can be the object of addictive behavior today, including substances no one would imagine ever human beings would use them. And then everyone can be experiencing personally or indirectly an addictive episode, whether acute or chronic. So let's see together a bit more in details what are those recent developments. Talking about drugs are everywhere, what we see, and the commissioner highlighted the fact that we have an increase still in the quantities and the variety of drugs that have been seized on the EU territory, with in 2022, 323 tons of cocaine that have been seized in the European ports. But we have also an increase in the production of drugs, whether they are synthetic drugs, for which Europe is becoming a global exporter, such as for MDMA or ecstasy, but also increasingly we produce amphetamines, methamphetamines, and more recently, in the recent years, we have seen the appearance of laboratories that are being used to transform cocaine pasta, cocaine base, into chlorhydrate de cocaine. So those are very important changes for which today it's also important to better monitor the trafficking, the diversion of the chemical precursors. As the commissioner mentioned, we also identified new drivers for the drug market in Europe, the organized criminal groups making increasing use of the normal commercial supply chain with a lot of attempts to corrupt professionals, judges, decision makers, and with an increase in those problems that I've seen almost everywhere in Europe. And not only that, what we see is today drug problem, the drug trafficking and drug seizures are happening in almost all ports in Europe, not only in the big ones. And those who are not yet facing a problem of the size or the importance of Rotterdam or Antwerp or Marseille or Le Havre know that one day their time may come. That's important to realize that it's not the problem of the other, it's our joint problem. And therefore the importance of the response presented by the Commission when it proposes a roadmap for the fight against drug trafficking and a closer and stronger cooperation between European ports and ports, for instance, in Latin America. If we look at everything, what does it mean today? Today, we see a broad panorama of substances that are being used. Of course, we have the traditional ones, the old drugs, but we have also plenty of new substances that nobody, as I said, would imagine that some human beings could use them. Some of them are products for veterinary medicine, for instance. Altogether, this is highlighted by the fact that today the key word is polysubstance use, and in many cases we observe more mis-selling of drugs. Meaning that you have people who are supposed to think they buy a substance, and in fact what they are consuming is something else, are different mixes. What we also observe is that there are changes in the patterns of drug use, and injecting drug use has not disappeared. A lot of people imagine that because heroin use by injection has been reduced and is more or less stabilized, that injection of drugs is not a problem. This is not true. This is not exact. New substances are being used for different practices, including, in some cases, chemsex. We have also a lot of new risks, new substances appearing, and for that, what is extremely important, and the commissioner mentioned this, is to have a stronger capacity to detect, identify the substances, but also to be able to inform the actors from the field, the hospitals, about the toxicity, the antidote, and the measures that can be taken. This will be part of the new mission of the new agency. Let's move now to everyone. The fact that there are so much substances and that they are so available in Europe means that, of course, there is a huge, big pressure from the market on the potential or existing users. So the key driver of the market, the key responsible for the dynamism of the market, is the availability. So the impact is observed, can be observed in the sense that there are the first signs that there is a visibility and impact in terms of public health, of the availability of cocaine. But we know that there is a latency period between the moment when someone starts using cocaine for recreational purpose and then may face personal difficulties or health problems, and then starts and tries to enter into treatment, it can take up to 5 or 6 or 7 years. So we can foresee that the main impact in terms of need for treatment that are caused by this increase in cocaine use will only be observed in a few years from now. So we need also to be prepared for addressing those needs. On the other hand, as injecting behaviors and the sexual behaviors are changing and more substances are being used for that purpose, we have seen here and there in Europe an increase in HIV drug-related infections. So that's another element that requires our vigilance. And of course, what we see at the same time, a different impact and stronger impact on the population, is both the increase in drug-related violence, but also the involvement of minors that are attracted in criminal activities that are associated to drug use. And for instance, last year, there have been a few cases that were related in many member states of young people that were recruited just to be observers, to take a role at the level of the places where the deal is taking place. And in some cases, like in Marseille in September, a young guy started his new position, his new job in the early afternoon. He was dead the evening because of a fight between the different groups. So we need to address. So the responses for that are both improving and strengthening, developing better evidence-based prevention. And the EMCDDA and the new agency have a program and will develop additional standards and online training for professionals, promoting the European prevention curriculum, for instance. We need also strengthen the crime prevention and also develop activities to install and promote what we call harm reduction systems, instead of focusing on some specific responses, making sure that we are ready to address the problem. And end of November, we are going to organize in Brussels the first European conference on drug-related violence, to see not only the size and the dimension of the problem, but to identify innovative initiatives that allow to try to address the problem and protect not only the citizens, but our communities. So in that sense, not only we need to support instead of punish, but we need also to support the cities and the local communities. Finally, we have a lot of questions in the report about and around cannabis that has transformed itself into a specific policy topic. Why? Because on the one hand, We observe a huge variety, diversity, complexity in the understanding of what are the needs for treatment, what kind of treatment is working. So we need better studies, better research. And also it's partly associated to the fact that the concentration of cannabis in THC, that is the main substance, the main cannabinoid that is having the psychoactive impact, this concentration has doubled in the last 10 years. So it has impact and it represents a risk for health. At the same time, we see there are changes in the market, different products being sold that in some cases can potentially increase the risk for the consumers, but also for children. If we think about the gummies that are circulating in some cities in Europe. So we need to address this. And two other very important points. First, in 5 EU member states, there have been new legislative decisions, initiatives to allow under certain conditions for the recreative use of cannabis. And this requires certainly monitoring and evaluation, and the EMCDDA is closely working with the member states who have taken those new legislation to identify criteria for the evaluation. Research evaluation will help us understand in the coming years what has been the impact of those new measures. And then finally, talking about cannabis, we know that many member states in the European Union have adopted the legislation allowing for production of cannabis for medical use and use of cannabinoids for medical purpose. The commercial part in many countries is more developed than the medical one, and many countries need guidelines, need training, need education for the professionals. But there have been, in the recent years, very interesting and positive results of studies, experimentation, such as in France, for instance. Now, last point. Last or maybe new danger that is coming. In Afghanistan, since last year, the government has declared a ban on the production of opium poppy. And all the information available, including the analysis of satellite imaging, shows that this ban is implemented around 95-98%. So what can happen? What we know is that in most of the cases, there are still stocks available either in Afghanistan or along the heroin route. So we still can expect that it will take sometimes a few months before we can observe on the field a drought of heroin on the drug market in Europe. But there are some signs already in some EU member states or in the UK where there is an important decrease that has been observed in the seizures of heroin, which may indicate that the impact and the heroin drought is coming progressively and will be existing de facto soon in Europe. So the question is, what will happen next and what are the risks for us? Well, the main risk, and this is why there is a global alliance against synthetic drugs that was launched by the US, by the State Secretary Blinken last year in July. All EU member states, the EU institutions and our agency are participating, contributing to prevent the further spread of the use of synthetic drugs, especially synthetic opioids. The risk indeed is people, those who are using heroin because of the drought, may switch their use towards drugs that are cheaper, easily produced, and extremely more dangerous than heroin, and the opioids of vegetal origin, which are the synthetic opioids. Some of them, they can be up to 700 times more potent than morphine. And we see already that in the US, every year you have between 100,000 and 130,000 of people who die yearly from overdose from opioid, and about half of them at least are caused by some of those synthetic opioids. So there is a risk. This will probably happen. What is the dimension of the new risk? What are the substances that people are going to use? We don't know yet. There was such a similar experience 20 years ago under the first government of the Taliban, And what we have seen is that the behavior of the users was different from one country in the EU and another. So we need to remain vigilant. So what we need to do is to be prepared. And the new mandate of the new agency, our new agency, is about contributing to EU preparedness. And in that sense, we are going to launch a preparedness advisory in July to encourage the member states to maintain the offer for treatment, to adapt the harm reduction services that are essential for addressing any emerging crisis associated to synthetic drugs, in particular the synthetic opioids. We need to encourage member states that have not yet adopted a legislation for the use of an antidote that is called naloxone to do so without any delay. But what we know is that the use and the prescription and the guidelines for the use of naloxone need also to be adapted, and that some of those substances being much more powerful than heroin, more potent, it may require a change in the standard national guidelines for the administration of naloxone to save lives. So the objective is to be ready, prepared, in the case there is an epidemic, to save lives. Finally, this is what will be the new mandate, the new scope of our activities. Becoming a monitoring center, we started 30 years ago, and now with the new mission, we have a more clear role about helping to save lives, helping to protect the citizens through better capacity of the EU to anticipate, which means learning from what has happened so far, but anticipating on the future, a stronger alert mechanism, better responses and support to the member states to adopt, if needed in emergency, new and complementary responses, and finally to learn from the experience, from the new lessons from the practice, to ensure that the new best practice is transmitted to the national curriculum to train the professionals. So with the new mandate, the new agency, together we can even better protect all citizens and people who are using drugs.
That was Alexis Gustiel, director of the European Monitoring Center on Drugs and Drug Addiction, speaking at a news conference on Tuesday, June 11th, announcing the release of the 2024 European Drug Report. You're listening to Century of Lies. I'm your host, Doug McVeigh. Well, it wouldn't be a news conference without a question and answer period, now would it? The next voice you hear will be that of Catherine Robertson, Principal Manager of Media Relations and Corporate Communication for EMCDDA, as she puts the questions submitted by journalists for Director Gustiel to answer.
So the next question comes from Luxembourg, and it comes from Joëlle Adami of Vox. She says, there has been much discussion about synthetic cannabinoids in recent years, and there's a sense that new substances are constantly coming onto the market without consumers being aware of their actual composition or effects. What are your observations here? Wouldn't the legalization of recreational cannabis be healthier for everyone in the long term?
Thank you for the question. I think we talk about two different issues, because the development of synthetic drugs and synthetic cannabinoids is not necessarily related to the consumption of cannabis, knowing also that there are different substances and that there are different uses. But you are totally right in saying that, as I mentioned, mis-selling, there is a huge risk in the fact that people are, in many cases, they are buying drugs, including cannabis, without knowing, for instance, they contain synthetic cannabinoids. And this is one of the features, this is one of the new missions of the new agency that are extremely important for me. Because we speak about this issue for the last 4 or 5 years at least. For instance, talking about hemp, that is without a strong content in THC, but that is sprayed with synthetic cannabinoids. People don't know. They believe they consume or they smoke cannabis, and in fact they consume synthetic cannabinoids. But even more important, the clinicians in the emergency wards, in the intensive care unit, they don't have the information. They don't know what is the antidote. They don't know what they have to do, what they can do. And this is one of the things that will change with the new mandate. What we see is that whatever the options outside the EU, whatever independently from the policy decisions to allow or to legalize recreational use of cannabis, the problem associated to the synthetic cannabinoids has not disappeared. And therefore, as I said, what is extremely important is first is to be clear and to be as much evidence-based as possible on what changes regarding the legalization of or the tolerance of the recreational use of cannabis in Europe, and to put in place the system, the research, the evaluation mechanism that will allow us to understand better how does it work, what are the positive effects and what are the negative effects. And to serve that work, that is already something we do, and we provide technical and scientific support to those member states, I will pay an official visit to Canada in September to learn in detail from the results of the evaluation that was conducted by the Canadian authorities, because Canada has a very strong track record in the evaluation of public policies, including in public health or mental health. And therefore, I think we have better chances to have the real results of a serious evaluation that will not pretend that everything is successful, but that will help us to understand what works, what are the unexpected good results, but what are also the potential unexpected problems that have been maybe caused by the new policy. And this is what we are going to continue to follow together with the member states who adopted those legislative changes in the coming years.
The next question is from Germany, from Süddeutsche Zeitung, and it comes from Rainer Stadler, and he asks, what can you tell us about the new substance fentanyl, which is playing such a devastating role in the US?
Thank you for your question. Fentanyl is not new for us in Europe. Fentanyl, fentanyl is a medicine. It was created by Janssen Pharmaceutica, a Belgian pharmaceutical or former Belgian pharmaceutical company, when the objective was to find a medicine that was stronger for extremely acute pain that morphine was not enough, did not succeed to cover, and also as an anesthetic. So, first of all, fentanyl has also a legal existence. Second, through the early warning system on new psychoactive substances that we are running for 27 years, and that is a unique system in the world with a permanent monitoring 24/7, and that led, as the Commissioner Johansson said, to the discovery over the last 27 years of more than 950 new substances that never had appeared before on the European drug market. The fentanyls, the first one was discovered 12 years ago in Estonia. This was the first alert. And since then, we have plenty of synthetic opioids, including fentanyls, that have appeared on the European drug market. But the truth is, the recent years, the last 3-4 years, the number of new fentanyls, the new molecules that belong to that family, has decreased. There were only one or two the year before. And last year, out of the 7 new synthetic opioids that were discovered on the European drug market, there were 6 nitazines and there was only 1 fentanyl. So what does it mean and what can we say? Well, the first thing we can say is the epidemic with fentanyls in the US has different root causes. This is one of the things I had the opportunity to mention when we were invited to participate in the launch of the Global Alliance Against Synthetic Drugs. So does it mean that we will not face any problem with fentanyls? No, certainly. The potential risk, and this is why I mentioned at the end of my presentation, the new potential risk that is directly or indirectly can be the consequence of the ban on the production of poppy in Afghanistan is that one. But the situation in the EU is different. First, today we don't see so much the fentanyls, we see more nitazines. And some of them are equally or even more potent than some of the fentanyl, so certainly the risk is still high. And this is why We want to launch a first preparedness advisory in July to call the member states to assess the state of preparedness and to provide them help if needed. But what will be the precise group of substances that will replace heroin in Europe is very difficult to say.
So this from Doug McVeigh. Some provinces in Canada have been piloting safer supply programs in which opioids and in some cases stimulants are supplied to people who use drugs. Will you be reviewing results from these programs on your trip to Canada? And do you have any thoughts that you can share on safe supply?
Thank you for the answer, for the question. I look forward to visit Canada to get more details from the response. But what I can say is, yes, I'm extremely interested to know also about what is a not so new therapeutic option, actually, because in some countries, the prescription of opioids such as heroin, for instance, is something that has been explored up to 30, 40 years ago. I remember myself, I made a study visit in the early 90s in Liverpool and in Widnes. This was at that time Dr. John Marks, who was one of those who were implementing heroin prescription with some of their clients. So there have been and there are still experiences, there have been projects and proposals in many countries, including Belgium, with a project regarding, I think, dimorphine, if I'm not wrong. It has been decided at that time that some of those therapeutic options were not be given a priority by the national authorities. Now, for me, the question is, and this is why I'm interested to learn from the Canadian experience, but also in the EU member states, is that I think one of the challenges is to identify which is the group of patients or clients that could benefit from this kind of treatment. The TADAM project in Liège in Belgium was proposing to address the needs for a specific group of users. The truth is, it looked maybe less of a priority for some decision makers at a time when the impression was that drugs were less important because the consumption of heroin had stabilized and there was a reduction in the use by injection. But certainly the fact that there are new substances, new cocktails of substances, new risks, and people who stick to the use and are not ready to enter into treatment. There is scientific evidence that treating people using, for instance, heroin is a treatment, and provided that it follows the medical guidelines, it's a treatment like others. It's for a different group of clients, it's with a different purpose, but it's still considered as a treatment. So yes, I'm certainly very interested to learn more about those recent developments in Canada. That's one of the objectives of my visit there.
That was European Monitoring Center on Drugs and Drug Addiction Director Alexis Gustiel and EMCDDA's Principal Manager of Media Relations and Corporate Communication, Catherine Robertson, at a news conference Tuesday, June 11th, on the release of the 2024 European Drug Report. And for now, that's it. Thank you for joining us. This has been Century of Lies. I've been your host, Doug McVeigh. Century of Lies is a volunteer production for community radio syndicated via the Pacifica Foundation Radio Network's AudioPort service. Please support your local community radio station. Find this edition of Century along with an archive of past shows at the Drug Truth Network website, drugtruth.net. We'll be back in a week with 30 more minutes of news and information about drug policy and the failed war on drugs. For now, this is Doug McVeigh saying
for
so
the
long.
Drug Truth Network, so this is Doug McVeigh asking you to examine our policy of drug prohibition, the Century of Lies. Drug Truth Network programs archived at the James A. Baker III Institute for Public Policy.